SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, March 19th, episode 133. And this edition will be obviously focusing on the NCAA tournament, particularly the first round matchups. And we'll get some plays during our award tour where we talk about teams that make the Sweet 16 or Elite 8, trying to find new value. But before we dive into this, the first topic or the typical topic is we have to look back. Probably one of the biggest storylines going into the tournament was, should North Carolina been in the tournament? A team that was the last seed in. And I think they proved a lot of doubters wrong, me included, with a dominating 95-68 win versus San Diego State, easily covering the spread. Now, when the lines came out, I did say that I thought that Carolina was going to win. I just thought that they did not deserve to be in the tournament. But you can't mistake the performance that they had. This is the North Carolina team that shot 53% from the floor, 58% from three. You look at the play of RJ Davis, fifth-year senior, 26 points. There he is right there, 6 of 6 from three-point line, 4 of 5 from the foul line for 26 points. You can look at Seth Trimble coming off the bench for 16 points. You can look at Cadeau giving you 9 points, 12 assists. And then Jalen Withers, after that heartbreak of the lane violation, giving you 10 points and 10 rebounds. So now here comes the interesting thing. Now that they're in and they've won, they're already favorites to beat Ole Miss. And if you really peel back and you just look at the way they've been playing, it makes sense. They've been, besides that one half versus Duke in the second half at the Dean Dome, and then the first half without Cooper Flagg, they've been rolling teams. So covering that 3.5-point spread, they're going to be going into this game covering, I do believe, 8 out of their last 9 games. So them winning against Ole Miss, it could happen. It's all about what you get out of those guards, particularly RJ Davis. If he can, I'm not expecting him to go out and shoot 6 for 6 from three against Ole Miss. But Ole Miss has a propensity to give up points. Carolina may be in this game. But the key thing is they shut a lot of teams, or a lot of critics, up. Speaking of North Carolina, the team that people were most upset with not getting in the tournament was West Virginia. But West Virginia's loss and not getting in was Indiana's gain. Indiana went and hired Darian DeVries to become the new coach at Indiana. And there was talk at some point that another Big Ten school, namely Iowa, was looking at DeVries as well. This is a guy that's an absolute grinder. A guy that when you talk to people around college basketball, thinks this guy is an up-and-coming guy. He's part of the Greg McDermott disciple tree, Greg McDermott tree. And everywhere he's gone, he's won. Look what he did at Drake. Every year at Drake, folks, do you know that he won at least 20 games? Making the NCAA tournament 3 out of his last 4 years? And you could argue that he should have won, gotten to the tournament this year. It's amazing when you give guys like this their shot. And if you think about the Indiana men's basketball program, since Bob Knight left in 2000, they've went all different ways. They wanted Mike Davis, who was an assistant for Bob Knight. They brought in Kelvin Sampson, who had been at Oklahoma. And then they ran Kelvin Sampson out because of violations, which was probably the dumbest move Indiana did and probably set this program back 10 years. They went to Dan Dakich, who was an Indiana guy. Didn't work. They went to Tom Crean, a Tom Crean that, you know, obviously had some success before that at Marquette, was an assistant to Tom Izzo. Didn't work. They went to Archie Miller, kind of hotshot guy, right? Didn't work. Then he tried to go back and get an Indiana guy. And Mike Davis. Mike Morton, I should say. Didn't work. They got themselves a home run hitter. He's going to work his ass off. He's going to develop talent. His son will come play for him, Darren, who's an absolute bucket getter. And I think this is a guy that's going to be here for the long haul. Indiana's messed up a lot of times since letting Bob Knight go. And you could argue back and forth if they should have let Bob Knight go in 2000. But this is the best hire they've made because of what he's done at smaller stops. And now you get him to the Big Ten where he's going to have some of the top. Remember, Indiana spent almost $5 million in NIL money. This is a home run hire. He can develop talent, but get them to play higher than expectations. And think of what's going to happen once he gets big time talent through the NIL and the portal. Lastly, it's that time. It's the best time of year. It all starts tomorrow at 12:25, and that's the NCAA tournament. It is the best 3 weeks of sports, and it's not even close. There's so many things that can happen. There's so many storylines. You look at the East, can Duke, who's been really dominant, get Cooper Flagg back, and can they make a run to the Final Four? Will someone like Nate Oates, you know, obviously with Alabama, who's the upset alerts? Maybe Liberty, maybe Akron, maybe VCU. You head to the Midwest where Houston has just rolled teams, rolled them in this league since going to the Big 12. After everyone's saying they can't be here. But then you got High Point, McNeese State, possible upset, sleeper team of Illinois. What do you get out of them? To the South. Can Auburn get their mojo back after losing three of the last four games? Is Michigan State for real playing in a down Big Ten? Is T.J. Osterberger's team at Iowa State healthy? Can he make a run? And then obviously there's North Carolina, who looked great last night. Could they use this as like a VCU momentum and find a way to get themselves in a deep run? And then lastly, the West. Florida playing the best basketball anybody over last weekend with their SEC tournament win. Colorado State, arguably one of the hottest teams in the country. Everybody loves Drake on upset alert to get Missouri. That bottom part of the draw in Providence, where you have Bill Self, John Calipari, and Rick Pitino. Yeah, we didn't have that in our bingo card. Shout out to everybody in Providence that gets to see that tomorrow and on. I'm sorry, I think it's Friday and Sunday. Coming up next, we're going to get into our award tour, where we'll look at teams that I think could make a run to the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. The key things about it is we're looking at teams that are plus money. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 133. And it's time to get into our award tour where we look at the futures market. And we're going to focus on a really good set of FanDuel did a great job, folks, and you should check it out, where they put out a bunch of different categories. And what I decided to focus on is odds to make the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. These are teams I believe in that can make runs. Every three out of the four are plus money. The fourth is around even money. And then there's some good head-to-head bets. And I tried to find a bet that was at plus money that I really like. So let's start with Iowa State. I took Iowa State to reach the Elite 8 at a plus 195 price. So why am I doing this with TJ Oshenberger's team? To me, it's about, yes, I'm taking a little bit of chance here about the health of their squad. You got to look at the play of Curtis Jones, a 6'4" senior, getting you about 17 points per game. And then there, obviously, right there is Keyshawn Gilbert, star guard, 13.4, 4.1. Keyshawn Gilbert's been dealing with injuries. We have to see if he plays, but I do think TJ's team is a sneaky good team to make a run. They played in the Big 12. They played a competitive schedule. And if you take a look at that bracket that they're in the South, in that bottom portion, right, Lipscomb, they should be able to take out. I think whether it's North Carolina or Ole Miss, the defense and offensive combination of what they can do should get by them. So now this is about, can they get to the Elite Eight? I think Marquette has struggled down a stretch. I don't think New Mexico is better than them. And I think that Michigan State while having a great year, is really overrated. If they're healthy, they're well coached, they're balanced, they defend, and they got capable scores, Iowa State at plus 195 to make the Elite Eight. Let's move on to Wisconsin. Now, this market has moved. It was a little bit closer to even money. It has moved over the last 12 or so hours to minus 120. And when you look at this team coming out of the East region and the Wisconsin Badgers, you got to look at Tanjay, who is their star player. Listen, I'm also betting on the fact that they were so damn bad, shooting the ball against Michigan in the Big Ten final that I just feel like we're going to get a better play. Tanjay, Blackwell, the big guy Kroll, step out five. Winner, Klesmith, the shooter, right? McGee. They got a bunch of capable scores. They also shoot the ball as a team 35% from three. I think they get better as they go along. And then when you look at that where they are, right, in their bracket, right, Montana should be able to get a win. So now this comes down to the BYU-VCU matchup. Can they get a win? The line's going to be close. A lot of people are really high on BYU and their play of offensively. Folks, I wouldn't be surprised if VCU takes them out. So to me, Greg Gard and the way that Wisconsin plays, if they shoot the ball well, they're good defensively, they get out to a lead, and they do a great job of running their offense, whether it's the old swing that they ran from Bo Ryan or that European ball screen offense where you've seen them run it side to side, particularly in the Big Ten final, I think that they have enough that they can bleed the clock and shorten the game. Good way to look at it is they probably are going to be favored in the matchup if it's VCU or BYU. So to me, minus 120 is better than taking it game by game. Wisconsin Badgers, minus 120 to reach the Sweet 16. Let's move on to Illinois. And this is more about like which Illinois team are we going to get? And this is to make the Sweet 16. This is the Illinois team that has a lot of firepower. Yakunonis, which I can never say his name right, so I'm sorry if I said it wrong. You look at the play of someone like a Will Riley, 6'8 freshman, Dynamo. You look at Ivicic, the center. Boswell, the transfer from Arizona. They're the tricky team in that bracket. Because which Illinois team are we going to get? I think they're more of the team that beat Iowa, won at Michigan State, and beat Purdue than the team that got blown out by Michigan State at Wisconsin and home Duke, or at MSG. I think Brad Underwood is one of the best coaches in the country. I think they're hard to beat to do a one-day prep on. And this is basically coming down to, can they beat Kentucky? Because I think Kentucky gets by Troy. I think the toughness of this team, the experience of this team, will get them through. Go ahead and give me Illinois at plus 145 to make the Sweet 16. Lastly, St. John's plus 175 to make the Elite Eight. This is due to the fact that their draw potentially playing against teams like Arkansas or Kansas in round two. It's a triple spot. I think they could buy both of those. I think they could buy Texas Tech. This team is built for now. They're built for now. Guard play. R.J. Lewis, Devion Smith, Wiltshire, and obviously Kadari Richmond. You look at Scott, that's stepped up his game as their stretch three. And there's Kadari right there with Wiltshire in the background. But to me, it's also the play of Zubi Echefor, Big East most improved player. And the best coach, ready? Maybe the best coach of college basketball right now still. And that's Rick Pitino. Plus 175, St. John's to make the Elite Eight. Last one, sneaky one, head-to-head. Folks, I can't back Auburn the way they look. So a sneaky good bet is that plus 230 on FanDuel is to take, ready, Alabama to go further than Auburn. You look at Alabama's bracket and how they go. Robert Morris check. Tricky game versus St. Mary's versus Vanderbilt. And then obviously probably Wisconsin or maybe BYU or VCU. I think at the very least they get to the Elite Eight. I'm not a big believer in Auburn. I think they lose, honestly, in the second round to Creighton. Coming up next, we'll get into our scouting report. We'll break through some of the big games. Creighton versus Louisville. We'll take a look at High Point versus Purdue. We'll also take a look at McNeese State versus Clemson. And lastly, Oklahoma versus Connecticut. We'll be back with our scouting report after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 133. And it's time to get into our scouting report. We preview the top games in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Let's begin with a big one with Creighton as a 2.5-point underdog versus Louisville. Line is have an over-under of 144.5. And this is an intriguing matchup because they actually talked to Greg McDermott. And he's shocked that Louisville's an 8, and that Bruce Pearl's shocked that this is the 8-9 matchup, probably the best 8-9 matchup that we have. To me, when you're looking at this, I'm going to take the money line, and I'm going to take Creighton. I think when this game lines up, it's very even, right? But to me, I'm looking at the defensive player of the year, 4-time defending defensive player of the year, and Ryan Kalkbrenner. I'm looking at the fact that the effective field goal percentage offense is really good for Creighton. I think this is a really good game, really tight game, but I'm going to take the money line at plus 122 and Creighton to get the win. Next up, it should be a high-profile game. High Point, Purdue. There's a lot of different ways you can look at it. You can look at team total over for High Point. You can take High Point plus the points. I'm putting it all together in over 163.5. These are two teams that love to score and don't like to defend worth a lick. High shooting teams. Now, Purdue, we'll see how they play if they try to go inside the Kauffman Wren or get into a three-point shootout, which High Point wants. But the pace and the guard play, and particularly the lack of defense on both sides, both teams, not strong defensively. You have to look at the fact that's where you want to look, because if the game is close and you have fouls down the stretch, that is something that you want to look at, is how this game is going to be played by both sides. I don't think they're going to slow it down. I think defense is going to be, I guess, optional at best. High Points team, 25th in offensive adjusted efficiency, 7th for Purdue. Here's the key. High Point defensively, 226, Purdue 63rd. Neither team really turns the ball over a lot, and neither team forces a ton of turnovers. Over 163.5 in a high-scoring fun game between those two. Let's move on to last year. Maddie just reminded me, I picked McNeese as one of my upset specials. Guess what, Maddie? We got burned. Guess what, Maddie? I'm a coach. I'm going back to the well. I'm going to take McNeese State plus the points as one of my best bets at plus 7.5. This is a McNeese State team that's 63rd offensive efficiency. Clemson, you know, 24th offensive efficiency. Both teams good defensively. But when you kind of start digging back and really looking at what McNeese can do, they have the athleticism, they have the coach, they also have the moxie to find a way to get this done. It's going to be a really tight contest. I think this is going to come down to the last minute. So if I got McNeese State at plus 7.5, folks, that's a three-possession game. I don't think it's three-possession games. I think this is a five-point or less game. And because of the fact that I like what McNeese State does, particularly their ability to pound the glass where they're going to have an advantage over Clemson, the fact that their effective field goal percentage offense is the top 100, I think they find a way to keep it close. McNeese State plus a 7.5. Last one, Oklahoma-UConn. Folks, see that kid on the right? Liam McNeely? It ain't going to be about him. You look at Ball, ain't going to be about him. It's about experience. It's about Caravan. It's about Johnson. It's about Diarra. I feel like after they lost in the Big East tournament and Dan Hurley had a two-hour film session to fix, ready for this? Their defensive inabilities. That's all I needed to hear about UConn. It's the last game, one of the last games of the night. UConn will lock this game up, and they're going to crush an Oklahoma team on the boards. And an Oklahoma team that's going to struggle. I'm going to take UConn minus 5.5. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for March 19th. For all things sports gambling, download the SportsGrid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. We'll be back with another Betting Above the Rim podcast. We'll tape on Monday. We'll review the first two rounds for our producer, Maddie George, video with the graphics. Thanks for listening, folks. It's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.